listening to the 5 Minute Scholar from memorywizards.com.
Then, standing here in front of this exhibit on artificial intelligence and robotics, it's a little awe-inspiring and honestly a little unsettling. It makes you think about our responsibility for the things we create. And you can't help but go back to the original classic story about that very problem.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, written over 200 years ago, and it's more relevant now than ever. It's become this huge cultural myth, but I think the popular version, the one with the green monster with bolts in his neck, gets the central lesson of the book completely wrong.
I agree. For anyone who hasn't read the novel, it's about a brilliant but arrogant young scientist, Victor Frankenstein, who discovers the secret to creating life. He stitches together a creature from parts of corpses and brings it to life. But the moment it opens its eyes, he's horrified by its appearance and abandons it. The creature, left to fend for itself, is abused and rejected by everyone it meets, which eventually turns it towards a path of terrible revenge against its creator.
A path that destroys them both. It's a tragic, powerful story. And it forces us to ask our central question for today. Who is the real monster in Frankenstein?
The knee-jerk answer is, of course, the 8-foot-tall creature who commits murder. But the novel is far more complicated than that.
It is. And the first point to consider is that Victor Frankenstein's true crime wasn't playing God. It was his failure as a parent. His sin wasn't the act of creation, but the act of immediate, total abandonment. He spends months obsessively building this being. But the second it becomes a reality, he runs away in disgust. He never gives it a name, never teaches it, never offers it a shred of guidance or compassion.
So the monstrosity is in the neglect. It's a story about parental responsibility.
Absolutely. The creature is, for all intents and purposes, a newborn baby in a giant's body. He's confused, alone, and desperately needs a guide. Victor's failure to provide that is the novel's original sin. Every bad thing that happens afterwards is a direct result of that initial act of cruelty. He created a child and then left it on the world's doorstep because he didn't like the way it looked.
That completely reframes the narrative. It leads you to feel a lot of sympathy for the creature, which is the second key point, isn't it? The creature's own humanity.
Exactly. In the novel, the creature is intelligent, emotional, and deeply sensitive. He learns to speak and read by secretly observing a family in a cottage. He feels joy watching them, and he performs acts of kindness for them in secret, like gathering firewood. All he wants is connection and companionship. He is a monster who is made, not born. His rage and violence are a direct response to the constant, brutal rejection he faces from a society that judges him solely on his terrifying appearance.
I remember the scene where he finally talks to his creator. It's heartbreaking. He doesn't initially ask for revenge. He asks for a companion, someone like himself, so he won't be alone. He essentially tries to negotiate a peace treaty.
He does. And Victor agrees at first, then destroys the female companion he was building in a fit of panic, which is the final betrayal. This is what pushes the creature over the edge. And that leads to the final tragic point. The pursuit of revenge consumes and corrupts them both. The creature begins to murder those Victor loves. And in response, Victor becomes a monster in his own right. He becomes obsessed, abandoning his own family and all moral principles to hunt his creation across the frozen Arctic.
They become dark mirrors of each other, trapped in this destructive cycle. Victor, the handsome human, becomes filled with a monstrous hatred, while the monstrous-looking creature spends his time reading poetry and longing for a friend. By the end, the lines have completely blurred.
Precisely. The novel leaves you with the haunting idea that monstrosity isn't about your appearance, but about your actions and your inactions. It's about a failure of compassion, a refusal of responsibility, and the all-consuming nature of hatred. By the end of the book, you could argue there are two monsters, and neither of them started out that way.
A perfect summary, Ben. And for our listeners who want to dive even deeper, you can find the full interactive games, summaries, and activities on memorywizards.com.
it's the perfect way to lock in what you've learned. Until next time, stay curious.